broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for February the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2020, hour 2 of 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website, LovingLiberty.net, our syndicated network. Spread the word, tell the tale, new media taking center stage. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Delighted to see senatorial candidate from Alabama, Roy Moore, back in the news, sir.
Yeah, isn't that exciting? The headlines from the Washington Times. Some people, I think the main thing they want to do with him this time, since he's a Senate candidate down there, is just really not give him any coverage at all. If they do give him some, maybe give it negative. But the headline reads, Senate candidate Roy Moore brings back his Ten Commandments statue. Washington Times got the piece. And they say that this statue, a carved 2.5-ton lump of marble, will be displayed in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Foundation for Moral Law. By the way, that's, if you don't know who it is or what it is, it's a conservative nonprofit that Roy Moore started with his wife, Kayla, back in 2003. The stone features quotations carved into the sides and on top, the two open tablets containing the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament. He says, Roy Moore says, this wasn't done for political reasons, but it's very necessary. Mr. Moore, they say, was elected Chief Justice, and remember that says elected, not selected, elected Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court in 2000. 6 months after taking office, had the, and that was the Chief Justice, not just a Associate Justice, but Chief Justice. After taking office, he had the Ten Commandments monument installed in the court's lobby without informing his colleagues. And then they say a court battle followed. In November of 2002, a federal judge ordered it removed. You know, get those Ten Commandments out of here. Mr. Moore, Judge Roy Moore, declined to comply with the court order, and he was forced out as Chief Justice in November of 2003. They say not long after the monument had been taken away.
And the reason I mean, like him so much is he's been standing tall since then, Kurt, the best he can, and the people of Alabama love him and put him back in office whenever they get the chance, with rare exception, unless there's vote fraud and manipulation, which happened last time when he ran for the Senate. But Roy stands strong on the principles that matter most, Kurt, so he's bringing back his Ten Commandments statue?
That's correct, and it'll be there at the where the Foundation for Moral Law is housed, and the building was once a bank that financed the Confederacy, they say, as well as having, yeah. And they get, I guess they say it has a tunnel underneath used by, that was used by escaping slaves. So anyway, the bottom line is, hey, the Ten Commandments are back, but
yeah, and there's a trend.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, wouldn't it be nice if you could hear that everywhere, Sam? I don't think Rush picked up on this story. As far
you
as
can
I
email
know,
him,
Glenn
Kurt.
Hasn't picked up on this one.
Yeah,
Sean Hannity missed it. You know what I mean? So,
but it's a phenomenal story, and it's interesting. There's a trend going on, Kurt, where they're taking a lot of these statues that are, I don't know what you call it, unacceptable in society, if you believe in the mainstream or whatever, whether it be Confederate soldiers, you know, Robert E. Lee or Nathan Bedford Forrest or some of these leaders, and they're moving all these statues to private properties, what's happening, Kurt, and Roy Moore doing the same here.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's a bad trend because it just shows that society is kicking out our, what, progenitors? Is that the best way to say it? The good news is that there are people that are willing to take these things and make private property focus of them and stuff like that. So, you know, it won't be long, Kurt, when they start kicking out statues and think where they'll start kicking out modern people.
Well, and
well, they'll run him out of the court of public opinion or run him out of society on a rail in a literal sense over time. That's what's next.
And this has been happening throughout history. When you have evil people, Sam, they don't really like to hear about the Ten Commandments. One of the things that Judge Moore said about this in a Facebook post said, one of the most important issues affecting our country is a lack of morality. The Ten Commandments represent the laws of nature and of nature's God upon which our nation began in 1776. Today, more than ever, we need to return to those laws and moral standards upon which our country was founded. End quote. That's,
yeah, good point.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that it's going to bring down the wrath of the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Chuck Schumers.
But it is the kind of stuff we celebrate.
Yeah,
and I'm glad for Roy Moore being willing to come on Liberty Roundtable Live and talk about moral law, talk about his campaign and his candidacy, talk about what he believes to be vital based on principle. Just a tremendous stand-up guy in my humble opinion. All right, I've been kind of critical of President Trump for not getting rid of a lot of Obama holdovers, because I think that's just been a thorn in his side, and he's got a clean house. Well, Donald Trump now says, quote, Washington swamp worse than I thought. So he's waking up to the reality, Kurt, and he's doing something about it. What's that, in NSC? What's that?
Well, you've got the National Security Council, but,
yes,
you know,
sir.
I was thinking about our program yesterday, Sam, the one with the talking about the swamp fox, and then you've got President Trump, you know, dealing with the swamp. Maybe he's almost like the modern-day swamp fox, you know, but he's finding out, like you said, that the Washington swamp is just worse than he thought.
I think Donald could be a little bit more like George Washington, and guys like me can be the swamp fox, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Because, you know, he's got the whole thing to deal with. The swamp fox just dealt with his little area incredibly effectively. Don't misunderstand my point. I'm just saying it's the support that President George Washington, then General George Washington, received that made the difference, Kurt, by guys like Francis Marion in their day and guys like me and you in our day. That's the point, Kurt.
Good point, yeah. And according to one report, they've, you know, the President Trump's administration has removed 70 Obama holdovers. You know, at the NSC or the National Security Council, and, you know, you just wonder, I mean, it's like leftovers in the fridge. After a while, you got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of these holdovers.
I heard that. I wish it was 700 or 7,000,
yeah,
or 70,000,
right,
or whatever, but I'm saying it's a start.
Every one of them.
And this highlights that he's realizing it, though, Kurt, which is, in my opinion,
yeah,
you got to start somewhere, buddy.
You
got to give him credit and say, you know what? He's blatantly, publicly acknowledged it, that, hey, man, the Washington swamp is worse than I thought. Now, I'm not downing the president for that, too, because I guarantee if I went in there, even though I'm pretty savvy about how evil and bad the swamp is, if I get in there, I bet I'd be shocked, too, Kurt. I think it's beyond all of our imaginations.
That's exactly right. And the, you know, I was looking at the Washington secrets. It's, you know, at least in my opinion, there's no secrets in Washington, really. But Paul Bedard writes that he's done that 70, where he's cut 70 positions that were inherited from former President Barack Obama, and they had fattened the staff up to 200. Many, they say, were loaners from other agencies and have been sent back. Others left government work. That's what needs to happen. They just need to be cleaned out, you know. You know, you heard a lot of talk about the whole Vindman guy getting sent packing. And I mean, I think there's so many of them that ought to be out of there and, you know, trim down the government to about,
yeah, and
10%.
What it's going to take, though, is you got to downsize government agencies and eliminate government agencies for it to be real and sustaining, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah.
You know, and so but all I'm telling you is this, I'm not going to be critical here. Donald is publicly acknowledging, and he's doing something about it here. Now, you could say, well, a lot more needs to be done, Sam. He's got to get on this thing, put the pedal to the metal. Amen, I agree. But I'm not going to down somebody who's doing something. And these 70 holdovers aren't going to wreak havoc anymore because they're gone.
Right.
Now, we need more of that. I get it. I understand. But I'm just telling you that I at least it's an open, candid admission and a direct action on top of the candid admission. What more do you want? The answer is to support him
more,
to where
more,
he can
more.
Keep going.
Amen.
All right. U.S. border, seizures of meth and fentanyl. I guess they say it's going to break records in 2020, Kurt.
Well, and I think, you know, we've seen these stories lately, Sam, where you've got the happiness index is going up and everybody's happier. And then we got the, what is it, the where they figure out how long people live is going up, you know. What is that?
They say that the life expectancy is actually going down because people are committing suicide and drug overdoses. So if you take those numbers
out,
they're going
up.
But if you include those numbers, it's going down, Kurt.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the most recent ones I saw was that it was like the first time in a number of years that that life expectancy had blipped up a little bit. And I thought,
right, so let me tell you a little story. Let's say something goes from 80 to 71 over 3 years, and then it goes from 71 to 71.2 in the last month. Is it up or down?
Well, it's heading in the right direction, at least to me.
Well, if it goes from 80 to 71 and then it blips up a teeny bit, then, you know, it's going in the wrong direction. They've halted it, and we hope it continues. My point is, and they do this with the stock market, too. If you accept the teeny snapshot, it makes you believe kind of something's different than it is, right? So they're stopping it and turning it around, which is good news. You're correct. But the long slide, you can't ignore that long slide. It's been going down for a number of years. Now they've halted it, and it's starting to trend in the right direction. Kurt's going to talk about why, because I think this is critical to make the point. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, U.S. seizures of meth and fentanyl at the border in 2020. And so Kurt's pointing out that life expectancy is starting to tick up, and he's absolutely right. But I want to put it in perspective of the reality. For quite a while, it's been going down. They've now halted the downward slide. Thank heavens, less suicide, less drug overdoses, less murder. Those are good things. And it is starting to tick up. Kurt's right. But you got to have that long-term perspective. And I'm going to tell you why in a second, Kurt. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, one of the other things that contributors to this whole thing, if you ask me, is that people have their jobs instead of waiting on a government check. And when they have jobs, they feel better. And, you know, the God of heaven said, 6 days shalt thou labor. He wasn't condemning us to an evil, you know, daily drudgery. It's good for us to work. But I was looking at the report from Dr. Nicole Safier. She's the author of Make America Healthy Again, How Bad Behavior and Big Government Caused a Trillion-Dollar Crisis. And she was recently interviewed on a Breitbart program, and she basically says the latest report from the CDC on life expectancy indicated an increase of 0.1 year between 2017 and 2018. Says drug deaths dropped almost 5% in 2018 after rising for 28 consecutive years in the United States.
Okay, so let me stop you. And that's the point I'm making. And the reason that I'm making that point is it's just recent and they've halted it and they've turned it around. We haven't seen much gains yet. And overall, it's way down. Meaning the life expectancy, way up the drug abuses. And the reason that this is important to highlight is because it took a Donald Trump to get in office, Kurt, and it took people like her to work on this. It took the right kind of people to put the right things in place to make the change that haven't been done for literally decades, Kurt. This is huge for what President Trump has accomplished.
Right, that's right. And she went on to say, it's great news to see that. We usually think of cardiovascular disease and cancer as our leading causes of death. However, drug doses have also crept up. Or overdoses. We have more people dying from overdose than ever before, and for the first time in a little bit, it's gone down. That is largely due to our efforts regarding the opioid crisis, which we have been dealing with for about two decades, but we now have fewer people being improperly prescribed opioids, fewer people taking opioids, and the Trump administration is working very hard to keep illegal opioids off of our streets with strict border control. All of those together have led to this decrease, which is wonderful news.
It is. So it is wonderful news, and that's why I highlight this, though, Kurt, because you have to understand we've had this problem for a long time, and this slide has been massive for a long time. Life expectancy going down, drug overdoses on the rise. Okay, and it took President Trump and his tough border restrictions and his declaring, war on some of these things. In other words, doing things that make a difference. The headline says we're going to have seizures of this stuff rising big time. It's the moves that Trump is making that has changed this just recently, Kurt.
That's exactly right. And the Breitbart piece continues, says the CDC reported the age-adjusted rate of drug overdose deaths in 2018 was 4.6% lower than in 2017. Total overdose deaths fell by 4.1%. Marlo, at least in this interview, they say, asked if improving economic circumstances, like we mentioned before, and optimism across America contribute to reduction in overdose deaths.
And the answer is without question, the answer is yes.
Yeah, they said every poll shows that Americans are doing better economically, financially, and they just have an overall improved feeling about themselves. This president should be commended because he's the one who declared it an emergency. He's the one who appropriated funding for the opioid crisis. Previous administrations made minimal efforts, if anything, to help it. Anyway, the bottom line is,
that's great news.
Things are a little bit better.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, and that's why I spend the time to kind of break that down a little more in detail, Kurt, because if you just say it's up, people don't really understand how and why and who. And I think it's critical to understand how, why, and who. It's the changes that this current president has been making that accounts for it, Kurt.
I agree.
Anyway, and I just think that's important to know.
As always.
If you just say, it's up, people are like, good, I'm glad it's been going up. But you got to know how and why and who and what and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that it's the border seizures that are making a huge difference. It's the people believe life is better because of their jobs. It's all kinds of reasons. But all of them have to do with moves that the President Trump is making. What was that lady's group again, Kurt? Make America Healthy Again?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. These are outgrowths of the campaign in 2016, Make America Great Again,
that's right?
Okay, right. So these are people coming to the table and doubling down and carrying out President Trump's efforts, not only in the government sector, but in the private sector many times too, Kurt. It doesn't just have a government effect.
Side effects, you know, right?
Yeah. See, but those are, delightful side effects, I guess, right?
Amen.
Anyway, the other interesting tidbit that goes along with this is they're talking about migrant apprehensions now, Kurt, right?
Well, yeah, like the president said, if you've got the Mexicans with their government and their military protecting their southern border where you don't see those you know, big caravans of people coming up through there. You know, you can pretty much kind of lower things, and they say migrant apprehensions, or in other words, illegal immigrants trying to get across our borders, dropped another 11% in January. That's an 8-month decline. And you say, well, at least before we would see huge amounts, when our economy would be good, we'd see more and more people trying to get here. But if you've got countries, in this case Mexico, taking care of their border and making sure that, you know, illegal activity is a little less there, then it's better for everybody. Those people,
and just so
in
we
Mexico
can see how racist we are, then we can try to help Mexico be great again too, Kurt, or be great in the first
Amen.
Place, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But I want to help those guys.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, they're our neighbors to the south, Kurt, and we're supposed to what our neighbor?
Love
our neighbor as ourselves.
That's right. Yeah, good
point. It's kind of curious. I'm just saying. Trying to put it in perspective. But I'm delightful that illegality is dropping and the apprehension for illegality is less. And that it's an 8-month trend, right? I mean, that's important, Kurt.
That's
right.
But
again, 8-month trend, again, gives Donald, President Trump, all the credit, too, Kurt. Because he's leading the charge. Now, there might be a lot of people supporting him. And I commend those people as well.
Amen.
But I'm
you've
just
got
saying,
the private citizens, like the guys working on Build the Wall,
yes.
you know, and that guy with, you know, like four limbs cut off, you know, leading that whole battle. I mean, you got a whole bunch of people making some great stuff happen, and kind of like those Swamp Fox guys you were talking about, you know, saying.
Yeah, speaking of that, let's talk about Trump's budget. Now, again, let me be very clear. This is not just a we love Trump at all costs discussion. We're not just Trump derangement syndrome in reverse. We are willing to give credit where credit's due, though, folks.
Right.
Okay? And the more President Trump does good, the more praise from me he's going to get. You want to know why?
Because that's good.
Because that's the right thing to do, and it's good. And it's based on principle. And the more he does that, the more praise he'll get from me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we have to talk about his budget a little bit, too, relating to the, quote, migrant stuff, Kurt.
Good point. You know, you've got the headline parts, of course, from Breitbart, somebody that's kind of at least gives, I think, the other side of that. The headline reads, Donald Trump's budget promises 1,000 miles of border wall. You know, and there's a number of other things that are in the, I guess, in the latest budget, you know, promotion there, where he's suggesting, hey, there's a lot of parts in government where we could lower the expense, you know. And I don't suppose that the Democratic-led House is going to, you know, just jump on all that and love on it, you know. But hopefully it's a move in the right direction. I heard Rush Limbaugh mention that the president has more political capital, and he may be going to go ahead and take on this lower expense in government thing and bring the budget down to where, I mean, who knows? We could eliminate the Federal Reserve, eliminate the federal debt, and make America great again. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot of people like Ann Coulter that are very critical of President Trump and his promise on the border wall. They suggest that he hasn't done enough and that it's all been talk and that none of the wall's being built. And I think that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. No doubt would like him to go for broke and the wall to be completely built and it to be all done. That's one side of the equation, and I would advocate for that. Even though I'm not really for a wall, I am for President Trump keeping his promises. Okay, that's one side. The other side is he hasn't built anything and he hasn't done anything. And I believe it's really in the middle. I think Donald Trump has done his level best to carry out this promise. I think he's experienced tremendous, tremendous opposition, though, from judges to Congress to... And the question becomes, how hard can President Trump push? If he pushes too hard, then they say he's a dictator. If he pushes too hard, they say he stole money from somewhere that he shouldn't have. If he doesn't push hard enough, he gets criticism from folks like Ann Coulter. And, you know, I just know this. I don't want to be the armchair quarterback and tell you I know how to perfectly do it. But this is more evidence that President Trump is doing his best to keep his promise. And all I'm telling you is, again, you got to give some credit for that. At least he hasn't dropped the issue entirely. At least he keeps bringing it up and working on it. Maybe he needs more support from the people, huh?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The head of the Iowa Democratic Party is resigning after last week's caucus debacle there. Troy Price saying in a resignation letter that his presence as chairman makes it more difficult for the party there to move forward from the caucuses. A coding error in an app led to a significant delay in reporting the results. A former party chairman in Polk County, Iowa, says of Price's decision,
he operated with some class. He took responsibility for what happened, and he didn't blame anybody else.
Tom Henderson there speaking to CBS News. New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo will be at the White House to meet with President Trump today on the federal decision to block New York residents from the Trusted Travelers program because it now allows illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. A magnitude 6.9 earthquake struck off the coast of northeastern Japan earlier, but there's no reports of major damage. This is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly telling an audience in New Jersey last night that Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman was just doing his job when he reported concerns about President Trump's Ukraine phone call. Speaking at Drew University, Kelly said Vindman did exactly what he should have done when he heard Trump ask his Ukrainian counterpart for an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden's family. President Trump's personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani saying media reports have been lying about him getting special treatment from the U.S. Justice Department. Last night he said in a Fox News interview,
"Not only am I not getting special treatment, I've been getting terrible treatment. This should have been investigated 3 years ago."
Attorney General William Barr on Monday did say the Justice Department's going to review Giuliani's information from Ukraine about former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter to gauge the credibility of that information. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
All right, so all I'm saying is, you know what, we can criticize President Trump or we can say, hey, at least he's trying to get money for the border wall. Now, I still agree that Mexicans were supposed to pay for it, so there you go. But, you know, we got to work on something, folks. And at least President Trump doesn't drop this. He could just ignore it, Kurt, and not even address it anymore, but he keeps bringing it up. And when I see the opposition that he gets on it and he keeps bringing it up, I have to say he's trying, Kurt.
That's right, and in this, you know, the headline where it says Donald Trump's budget promises 1,000 miles of border wall. Way down in the story, it says Univision newscaster, remember this guy, Jorge Ramos, says Trump has won the border crisis. Now, I mean, this would be a big headline, I think, if somebody was really pro, you know, the
not if you wanted to says, shut down Donald, it won't.
Good point.
But if you're fair, it would. Yes.
Under the headline, Trump got his wish, Mexico is now the wall, Ramos wrote in the, this was in the New York Times, I guess, I just never saw it, but, you know, the Breitbart boys picked it out, says he wrote, Mexico has effectively turned into an extension of Mr. Trump's immigration police beyond American territory, and this is the case on multiple fronts. On the southern border with Guatemala, they prevent Central American migrants, or I'd call them illegal immigrants, from coming into Mexico. On the northern one, they block those seeking entry to the United States from leaving. The decision of Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, they call him AMLO for short, to follow this approach is misguided. That's what this Jorge Ramos says. He should let migrants continue their journey north. I just disagree with that, and I think that the reason the president and the president of Mexico have kind of agreed on this is, remember that whole trade deal, Sam?
Where both countries not to have all kinds of illegals in their countries, Kurt.
Right.
Look, illegality doesn't benefit anyone.
Right. Drug, you know, crime and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you got to get a handle on
it. Now, by the way, in 2016, Super Tuesday, I think it was, Donald Trump Jr. came on Liberty Roundtable live, Kurt. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, now Donald Trump Jr. takes the stage, Kurt, speaking to a bunch of Donald Trump supporters or whatever. When he took the stage, a chant started out.
That's right. And the headline reads, Trump supporters chant 46 when Donald Trump Jr. takes the stage.
Now, by the way, it's instructive to know that Donald Trump is 45.
That's right.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean like he's 45 years old. It means he's number 45 in the president.
So he's the 45th president of the United States. And the idea would
that's
be,
right.
Hey, let's have Donald Trump serve four more years. And then in 24, let's have Junior run and become 46 was the idea that they're advocating.
Well, somebody's, right? Yeah, that's right. They're chanting.
Do you advocate
you
that
know,
idea,
I don't
Kurt?
Know for... You know, it's hard to say. I mean, we've seen the Bushes do this to us and nearly the Clintons. But it seems like at least the Trumps sure have a lot different way of doing it compared to them, you know.
Roger that.
I'm not for an imperial presidency or anything like that. What I'm for is, somebody who, you know, says what they're going to do and does it, and that's what I see out of President Trump, and I wouldn't be surprised if the son would not follow suit. I'd be surprised if he didn't follow suit, you know?
Well, and I will say this, you know, I more power to him if he wants to run.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's America.
You know what I'll do if he runs, Kurt?
You'll check into him? And
yeah, I'll look into his policies. I'll apply constitutional principles to his policies. If they're good, honorable policies that square with the Constitution and the proper rule of limited government based on a constitutional republic and moral law and stuff like that, then I'll support those things, Kurt. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then I will reject them.
Imagine that.
And I'll do that to everybody that runs, Kurt, to the best of my ability.
Wow.
Shocked and if Donald that. Trump Jr. gets it all right, I'll be praising him, buddy.
Yep.
So there you have it. Just thought that was interesting. All right, small business is in the news, Kurt. Two stories about small business.
Well, there you go, Sam. Let's see. So these are...
Same dates.
Small business optimism.
Yes, sir.
You know,
jumps
they say
higher
optimism.
In January.
Right. Now, you know, when most people see the term small business, I think in their mind they get this picture of some little kid with a like a lemonade stand, you know, and they're just sitting there and they're, you know, trying to sell their lemonade or something. But small business, ladies and gentlemen, is, I mean, the real definition is it's a big employer in America.
Yeah, usually you know it's 100 employees or less, or sometimes they say, you know, 50 employees or less is a small business. So you might have, you know, 30 employees and do $20 million of business, and you're a small business.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
I mean?
You're not like the kid on the street corner with that.
Well, you might be. That's one of them.
That's right.
Right?
That's
right. It might, it's all
but
the
all
above
I'm
is the point. It's way bigger than people think, yes, for sure. In other words, you've got to be well, for example, just to kind of give some guidelines so people understand the point you're making, Kurt, if you have less than 50 employees, you don't have to go along with the Obamacare big business mandate. If you have more than 50 employees, you do. So I've got people that I know that have five small businesses that all have 40 employees each. So they got 200 employees, but they're five different businesses, so they don't go over that 50 freaking threshold, right? Because they don't want to. Changes the game and increases their costs substantially. So all they do is they just break off divisions and create DBAs and different things. It's a different business and a different... You know, employer number and all that. Okay, and so, but what is a small business? And the answer is small businesses are huge, man. They're huge.
That's right.
Many of them.
That's right.
You know, if you have an employee, for example, or an employer that has like 80 employees or whatever, I'll give you an example. The Fishbowl Inventory is a company that I deal with a lot. And I know they got a couple of hundred employees. They're Fishbowl Inventory. They deal with inventory, and they sync all their inventory capabilities and warehousing capabilities to QuickBooks. And, well, QuickBooks and this Fishbowl, they're both considered small businesses, Kurt. They're massive, though. They got a couple of hundred employees, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's small business. Anyway, the point is...
You've heard of this National Federation of Independent Business?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
The NFIB, they call them?
Yeah.
Anyway, their chief economist, William Dunkelberg, you know, I've not heard much from him before, but he said this. He says, 2020 is off to an explosive start for the small business economy, with owners expecting increased sales, earnings, and higher wages for employees.
I think he's absolutely right. And I think if we do the crank up the tax, you know, cuts 2.0 plan that Rand Paul and Donald Trump are working on, it'll even get better, Kurt. But they say small business optimism jumps higher in January, and I think that job report that you gave us a day or two ago might relate to that too, Kurt.
Good point about the 225,000 more jobs.
Yes, sir. It's a huge number for January, buddy.
After Christmas is typically means it goes down, not up. And then you've got the, you know, this same guy, Dunkelberg, went on to say, small businesses continue to build on the solid foundation of supportive federal tax policies, just what you said, and a deregulatory environment. That's another really important part where we've found that for every new regulation the government's put in, they've gotten rid of 8.5 other ones, which is... Man, that's just
keep on
never
keeping
in my
on.
Lifetime. Says that this allows owners to put an increased focus on operating and growing their businesses.
Imagine that.
Instead of, you know, just being hassled by the government, you know.
Yes. In fact, they did another poll that relates to this very thing as well. They say 69% of small business owners say they have benefited from the 2017 tax cuts. That's why I say in a 2.0, just imagine what we could do, buddy.
Well, that's right. And plus, I'll bet you, Sam, you could probably find out of the 100% small business owners, you probably got 31% of them are Democrats and 69% are Republicans.
Yeah, unfortunately, to break down that partisan divide, you're probably correct on that.
You know, because typically, you know, you get more of the Democrats going to go into education and all that. They're not going to be business owners, whereas you're going to have more business owners be, you know, more of the freedom lovers or whatever. And
yeah,
so
and remember, the tax code's
there,
really tricky too, Kurt. So about out of those 31%, maybe there's just some weird situation that they find themselves in where it didn't give them as much of a bang as it did others. And that's exactly why Rand Paul said we got to crank up 2.0 to make sure that it applies to more people and more circumstances, right?
Well, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. You got Sean Hannity, who lives in New York. And
Hannity runs a small business, by the way, Kurt.
I know, and yet it's millions. But he said, hey, that tax deal was tough on him. And the reason it was tough on him was because in New York, they charge huge amounts of property tax and all that, you know, all those taxes, and those became... What would you call them? They just were less valuable under the new tax thing, simply because, like he said, hey, in our state, you know, people are dumb enough to elect these guys or raise their taxes and then expect that the federal government will give them a break on that.
Yeah, and oftentimes what happens is when the federal government gives a break, some of these liberal, more abusive states, they then take the chance to raise. So the Fed reduces the state, raises the taxes, and therefore it negates it. That's what I mean by those are the 31% of the people are in the unique exceptions. That's why we need tax cut 2.0 so badly now.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. You've heard the name Lavoie Finicum. Now, hear Lavoie Finicum in his own words.
Honor the Republic. Uphold this Constitution. Let us quit talking. Please take peaceful action. That is why I'm here.
Liberty Hall Lectures presents Dead Man Talking, screening and fundraiser. Come together with us to view the newly completed DVD series, Lavoie, Dead Man Talking, Episode 2, Friday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah. Come meet Lavoie Finicum's widow, Jeanette. Learn about her mission to bring about justice for the wrongful murder of her husband. That's Friday, February 28th, 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. There's no need to RSVP. Admission is free, and your generous donations are appreciated. Join us Friday, February 28th at 6 p.m. at Liberty Hall. This event is sponsored by One Cowboys Stand for Freedom, the Center for Self-Governance, and the Loving Liberty Radio Network.
All right, 69% of small businesses say the tax cuts have done them good. You got to dig that, you know? That's why optimism is jumping in January. Yeah, benefiting. So I want the tax cut 2.0 to roll. Come on, let's get that done. Rand, Donald,
that's
let's
right.
Go, buddy.
You got the big sales guy, President President Trump, and then you got all these other sales guys, you and me and everybody else, and the swamp foxes are out there going, hey, let's make America great again.
And let's reduce taxes, but, and, you know. All
that's
that.
Right.
But, next you know, talking you about, there's this big equality going on in the world, Kurt. Don't you feel equal?
Right. No.
But let me just stop you there, though, and say I'm not even calling for equality in that sense, Kurt.
No.
I don't care if somebody's rich or somebody's not as wealthy or whatever else. That's, you know, that's just circumstantial. It's okay. I don't need to be as wealthy as some of these guys. Like, I don't have a bunch of money to worry about being taxed on like Sean Hannity does, although we both run small businesses, right?
Good point.
Anyway, here's the equality point.
Yeah, the headline from Breitbart, equality, colon, Hollywood celebs handed $225,000 swag bags at Oscars. So, you know, I've just never heard these stories. I never even knew they had swag bags at Oscars. But
You get a swag bag when you go places.
I've been to places like,
NAB
or
and you know what they give you?
You know, the homeschooling things. And
you know what they give you for swag?
$225,000.
A little bag that says NAB on it and might be worth a dollar or two. And then you go ahead and get a floor map.
That's
and they usually give you a book which shows you all the different booths so they can promote what they're doing or whatever. And then they might give you like a little thing of mints that costs like a buck or something. And then maybe some pens and a little notepad or whatever to take notes on or whatever. Whole thing probably costs like $3 or something, $4 or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little less than $225,000, which was what the swag bag for the Oscars was, I guess, in there. They put, it came with free cosmetic surgery, not free cosmetics, not like some lipstick or something, but surgery, a cruise on a luxury yacht, dating services, oh man, that's dangerous stuff, gold-plated vaping devices, and more, according to reports. They say this was the highest value they've ever put together. The swag included a $78,000 12-day yacht cruise, $20,000 worth of facial rejuvenation treatments. That means, they're doing plastic surgery on those ladies and gentlemen there. And $20,000 in matchmaking services. Matchmaking services for $20,000. I mean, anyway, it's just crazy stuff.
I'm
Sam,
a little
I
more
just
of the matchmaker,
kinda,
matchmaker, make me a match
yeah,
kind of guy,
right.
You know?
Find me a fine, catch me a catch.
Anyway, a little different. Didn't cost a bunch of money back then, you know. But I'm not really for the prearranged marriage stuff anyway.
No, that's right.
You
good
know,
point.
But there
Let
you go.
People fall in love.
Anyway, I just find that interesting. The headline says equality. It's like, wow. All right, I guess there's former officer is what you call this guy, right, Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. Apparently there's a guy And apparently he, you know, the headline reads this: officer told to tone down gayness, settled suit for $10.25 million. He says St. Louis County agrees to settlement with police officers who says he was repeatedly passed over for promotion. I guess they say 23 times he was told to tone down his gayness. Now they've made a deal with him, and he's going to retire, he's going to get, this $10.25 million.
Now, I look at this, and you tone down your gayness, and that's the offense that costs the taxpayers all this money, Kurt? Say, just tone it down a little bit. And the guy's just running around as a police officer, just promoting his gayness everywhere. And they're just saying, hey, tone it down. This isn't really the place for it. Now, I think they're on solid ground with that. What if I just go in there all political and I just start talking about the swamp fox everywhere, Kurt? And could I tone down my
patrioticness?
You got to use the right word, Kurt. It'll be like libertiness.
Yeah, good point.
Tone down your libertiness and get, 10 mil.
It's amazing, huh?
Well, it's shocking in a bad way, because where would we go with this, Kurt? What's next?
Right.
Pretty soon the police officers won't feel like they can say, this isn't about being gay, we're about our work here.
And apparently, Sam, the officer's side has had offered the city to, settle for like $850,000, but they went ahead and went to court, and, thing.
And the courts helped them take 10 times the beating.
10 million. Yeah, that's right. It's just a mess.
So the answer, Kurt, in modern America, don't be telling people to tone down their gayness, okay?
Well, it just still shows you that the courts are not all perfect, I think.
Whoa.
There's some real trouble.
That's saying it pretty mildly, but your point's well taken.
Yeah.
All right, AOC's in the news, Kurt. Do you know about this lady?
Never heard of her,
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Calls her all-out crazy,
She AOC. Is all-out crazy. Well, just, Kurt, she wants all white people to know that they're racist, even if they don't think they are, Kurt.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, Kurt, such I know you don't mess, think you're racist, buddy, but I want you to know that you are. Okay?
Yeah, just plan on it. Count on it.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it, really, is the point, right?
Well, yeah, you've been guilty since you were born, and that's just the way it is.
Okay, right? But here's the deal. I thought we weren't allowed to promote fake news, Kurt.
Whoops. Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's exactly what this lady's involved in, right?
Good point. Apparently, she's going to have a little opposition. Some high-powered lady's going to run against her, so we'll see what happens.
What, some racist is going to run against her, Kurt?
No, some former, TV talk host.
Is she
or
white?
Whatever, Yeah, she
See,
is.
She's a racist, don't you understand? Let me just explain this.
But
Ocasio-Cortez wants you to know.
She's in the media.
That white people are racist. So she's a woman racist going against Ocasio-Cortez.
Good point.
See where this kind of goes, Kurt? There's just no way to escape these lies as long as we allow them to stand. Now, I don't know if this lady running against Ocasio-Cortez is a racist or not. I'm going to assume that she's not, though, because I find this allegation being thrown on everybody. But rarely is it even true. Now, once in a while, there is a bad actor in the mix and stuff. I get it. But, for example, they've been claiming I'm a racist forever, Kurt, and I just don't see how I'm a racist.
You just don't know it, Sam. What happens is
I know, but I preach
like
that we're all God's children and we ought to behave like it, treat each other kindly, and that different, ethnicities or whatever are based on the pigmentation of your skin. That has nothing to do with the fact that if we obey God's commandments, we're all blessed, and if we don't, we're in trouble, and the fact
but
that we ought to treat each other all kindly.
You don't use logic in these kind of things. I mean, it's just not how that works.
I want to just take those racists on and discuss it on TV with these people is what I want to do.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I got a question, Kurt. If you can win a bunch of money because people are telling you to tone down your gayness.
Right.
Could they tell somebody to tone down their whiteness?
Well, that would
because that's what Ocasio-Cortez is saying. Sam, you got to tone down your whiteness, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, I don't know how to tone down my whiteness or whatever. I mean, I just made that way. I mean, aren't we talking about the same arguments now, Kurt?
Yep. Well, it's just like this headline, CNN, MSNBC, home in on whiteness of New Hampshire's electorate. Those evil New Hampshireites, you know.
White. Well, what do you mean? You're saying there's too many white people in New Hampshire?
Apparently, Sam. I mean, you know.
Well, what do they do about it if they'd tone it down over there?
If they just change their colors. Maybe some of them could identify.
Well, one lady tried to change her color, and they wouldn't let her.
That's right.
Remember that lady? She's like, I'm black. And it turns out she was like all white and stuff. And they're like, what?
That's right.
Big old scandal.
She was even head of the NAACP up there.
Yeah, no, she.
Whatever it was.
She was trying to tone down her whiteness, Kurt.
Yes, she was.
And they said, no, you're an imposter. You're a fake. You're a scandal. We'll expose you.
This ain't going to happen here.
Of course, when a male runs around as a female, you know, you got to tone that down. By the way, you want some good news, Kurt?
Yes.
End the hour on a good news note, just for fun. Headline says this, U.S. led the entire world in reducing CO2 emissions in 2019, buddy. We led the world.
Wow. Everything's
starting. Aren't you all excited?
I've even been saving, like, paper bags, Sam. I mean, where I put, like, twice as much of the pine nuts in one bag, and you know, I mean, I'm feeling like the world is a better place already, you know.
I'm liking that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the U.S. led the entire world on that. There's also a new poll out you should know about before the end of the hour. They say this, will President Donald Trump be the first impeached president to ever get reelected?
Yes.
It's a great question. Right and Free asks us that. Conservative News had the previous piece. Will Donald Trump be the first president to be impeached and then to win re-election? Because what, Bill Clinton got impeached in his second term, right, Kurt?
Good point.
Okay, so in this case, President Trump would be the first guy to be impeached and then, you know, have the people's will again re-elect him. And I personally think
kind of like Judge that's Roy what's going to happen. When they took him out, you know.
Yeah, they took him out and got rid of him, impeached him equivalent or whatever, and the people put him back.
That's right.
See, that's the beauty of the checks and balances that made America great, Kurt, and that can do it again if we pay attention to them. If we play our role and do our part or whatever you want to say, right?
Good point.
All right. Anyway, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know, but if you go to lovingliberty.net, you know you can download our phone app and listen to us live and on demand. You can listen to us. You can listen to Brian Hyde. You can listen to Beth Ann Schoenberg. You can listen to C.L. Bryant. You can listen to Jesse Lee Peterson. You can listen to just tremendous talk radio, Kurt. You know? Kate Daly.
Very cool, Sam.
Around the clock, hard-hitting talk radio, live and on demand at your fingertips, lovingliberty.net. And folks, I'll tell you what, we really need your support and help. By the way, I had a guy email me, and he said, hey, man, I came from California. Mm-hmm. I live in Utah now. And I wanted to start a radio station in Utah, but it's kind of hard. But then I saw you guys on the Southern Poverty Law Center website.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of an enemy of, you know.
Enemy of the world.
Yeah. And so he said, because of that, I'm contacting you to offer my services to see what I can do to help. Can you please get a hold of me and we can sit down and talk about it?
Cool.
So I'm in touch with this guy and working on that right now. I just find that fascinating, Kurt. Imagine a guy that leaves California, comes to Utah, decides he wants to do something for liberty. He's working on it. He's kind of stuck. Doesn't know how he can improve. And he sees the Southern Poverty Law Center. Hey, man, these guys are like haters. So he's like, oh, phenomenal. Yeah. Calls us up.
Wow.
I just find the story fascinating. And that's why I'm telling you about it. The Southern Poverty Law Center, these people are nuts, Kurt. Their credibility is destroyed. But they still maintain to have this massive funding and massive presence.
Oh, yeah. Huge money.
You know, and so I find that interesting. But you know what? The British had it all, too. And good old George and Marion took it to them.
Yes, they did.
And guess who came out on top? The answer? The little guy with virtually no resources. Why? Because those people are willing to keep the commandments of God and turn to God and do our very best and trust in God for the rest. And we want to take that legacy and double down and carry it forward right now, right here, everywhere, every day except for the Sabbath. We take a rest on your radio. Okay?
Amen.
LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Check them out. Donate. Get involved in the solutions today like many, many others are doing. We got little resources, folks. I'm talking about the widow's mite stuff. But I'm telling you right now, we got God on our side, and we shall never give up. We stand to do our very best to use the checks and balances to make America and keep America great forever. Till the Savior returns. God save the Republic.